Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, the title of my sermon is Examples of Charity. Examples of Charity. So I want to start off first by looking at the importance of charity. So look right there at your Bibles, and we're going to start with verse 1 that says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Now, these are some really strong verses, because I don't want anybody here to waste their time. If you don't have charity, you're not going to get far into Christian life. Amen. In fact, it says that the greatest of these is charity. And look at what it says. It says if you give to the poor and if you even have your body to be burned and you don't have charity, it says clearly that it will profit you nothing. But let's take a look at some of the things that charity has. And then we'll look at Bible examples of people that displayed these characteristics. So if you go ahead and look right there, we'll start with verse number 4 and just those three words. So charity suffereth long. Charity suffereth long. What does that mean? Bottom line, you're patient. What I like to tell people is that you can suffer a long time. So when it says charity suffereth long, it means that you can suffer a long time with people's imperfections, you know, which is patience. And so one person that comes to mind, a biblical example of this, to me, is Moses. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to the book of Numbers, chapter number 14. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Go ahead and meet me in verse number 9 while you go there. I'm going to read from verse number 1. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children shall be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." You're right there in verse 9. "Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, that their fences departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not." So here we have a story of the children of Israel going through a hard time, going through a test, and they begin to murmur, they begin to complain. And Moses and Aaron, they fall on their faces trying to get the congregation to lighten up, trying to get the congregation, you know, to get the right attitude. And even Joshua joins in and starts to motivate them, saying, hey, the Lord delight in us. We're going to take this land, a land that flows with milk and honey. Just don't rebel against the Lord, because it's a bad idea to rebel against the Lord. Amen. Notice then he said, hey, don't rebel against us. He's warning them, don't rebel against the Lord. We're not doing our own thing. We're following the Lord. So if you guys are upset at us, hey, you're really mad at the Lord. And that is not a good thing. Go ahead and look at verse number 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. So now they're like, hey, you know what? We're sick of you guys. We're going to get some stones and we're going to stone you. Talk about a bad day. Now don't raise your hands, but I wonder who's ever had a day this bad. Where people talk about killing you, stoning you. You know, it's pretty warm in here. And I know there's probably some people that are thinking of stoning me if it gets a little too hot. You know, but, hey, they were literally going to stone Moses because they were just complaining of the situation. And that's not a good thing. It says, "And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long?" So now the Lord's like, hey, let me tell you something, Moses. How long would this people provoke me? And how long would it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, are among this people, that thou, Lord, are seen face to face, and that they and that cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one, then the nations we have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee. So here Moses is begging God. I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. And here Moses, he just got threatened to be stoned. God says, hey, these people are provoking me. I'm going to get rid of them, Moses, and I'm going to start afresh with you. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody threatened to stone me and there was a bunch of people trying to stone me and the Lord's like, listen, I'm going to go take care of these people and I'm going to start all over with you, I probably wouldn't get in the way. I'd be like, let's do it. Those stones look mighty painful, Lord. But Moses is like, Lord, I beseech you, I'm begging you. He's like, don't kill these people. Even though they're murmuring against me, even though they're threatening to stone me, think about the long suffering of Moses. He's like, hey, I'm willing to suffer them. Maybe he's thinking of his brother. Maybe he's thinking of his friends. Who knows why? But he is begging God after God said, hey, these people are trying to kill you. They're trying to stone you. Hey, they're provoking me to anger. You know what? I'm going to get rid of them and start anew with you. Moses is like, no, no, don't do it. And he's saying, hey, you know what? The land is going to hear. All these nations are going to hear about it. And you're not going to look good. Maybe that was him just trying to persuade the Lord, but what he really wanted to say is, believe it or not, I love some of these people that are trying to stone me. And I'm willing to suffer long. Why? Because Moses had what? Charity. Charity. And they're trying to kill him, and yet he's like, Lord, don't do it. Don't do it. And it says in verse 19, he says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of these people, according into the greatness of thy mercy, and thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But it says in verse 21, or right there in 21, it says, but as truly as I live, all the earth should be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me these 10 times. So here the Lord is saying, hey, these people are provoking me, they tempted me, not once, not twice, not 8 times, not 9 times, but 10 times. And this always reminds me of how long-suffering God is with us. Because some of us can't really even handle, you know, somebody provoking us even twice or 3 times or 4 times when we're ready to give up on that person. Amen. But this ought to show you what charity is. Charity suffereth long. It can handle it. It will be patient. So if that's not you, it's time to get some charity in your bones. Amen? Amen? And it sounds similar to another verse. You know, if you can, go ahead and meet me in Matthew 18. I don't think you'll get there in time, but I'll read verse 23 while you go to Matthew 18. So if you're able to go through your Bible really quickly, great. If you want to bust out your phone, go for it. You got a tablet, use it. Verse 23 says, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto the fathers, neither shall any of them provoke that provoke me shall see it. So yes, even though they got spared, there was a punishment. They didn't get to go to the land. So yes, we may complain and think, you know what, it's nothing of it. You know, God knows my heart. God knows I'm human. And he understands my gripe. He understands this hot and faithful word in his brother girl's fault. But yet, you know what? Hey, God still doesn't like murmuring and complaining. So guess what? He may extend these ACs a little longer than usual, just for you. Now I know how Pastor Jimenez felt. Goes around, comes around. Woo! I did wash it after he used it, amen, in case you're wondering. Matthew 18, it says this, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till 7 times? And here Jesus is trying to teach him to be long-suffering and to have charity, amen? Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. So he's saying, listen, if somebody sins against you over 490 times, you are still to forgive that person, amen? Amen. And think about it. I don't think someone is going to offend anybody here over 490 times. Can we at least learn to forgive people if they offended us 4 or 9 times? Because it will happen with, 330 people in this room. Someone is going to say something that's going to offend someone. But we need to have charity and endure it and act like, hey, you know what? The person didn't mean it. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Because think about it like this. Supposedly, how many people we have on this planet now? 8 billion? Let's just say half of those people are adults or old enough to understand sin. What is that, 4 billion? Let's just say those 4 billion people on this planet, they all sin 3 times a day. How many sins is that against God? 12 billion? And guess what? If this earth is sinning against God 12 billion times a day, how many sins or how many commandments is this planet going to break at the end of 365 days? Can anyone tell me right off the top of their head? I asked Alexa, and she said, 4 trillion. 4 trillion in 1 year is what Alexa told me. So it was quicker than busting out my phone. So think about it. 4 trillion sins, 4 trillion commandments are being broken by human beings at the bare minimum. But you and I both know it's probably 10 times that amount. Because the question was, what if 4 billion people sin against God 3 times a day? Do you really think that we sin against God 3 times a day? I think not. But let's just say we do. That's 4 trillion commandments that this earth breaks every single year. Now multiply that by 10 years. That's 40 trillion commandments. Talk about long suffering. This planet is still here. 4 trillion commandments, and you know it's way more than that. Can we forgive our brothers if they sin 4 times against us? If God doesn't have charity, who does? Amen? Amen? So what do we have? Charity suffereth long and is kind. And is kind. Go ahead and go to Ruth chapter number 1, please. Ruth chapter number 1. Don't worry, I'll try to be done by 11:45. I got 14 more to go, amen? But that's why I talk fast. And I'll put this sucker in overdrive when I'm about to run out of time. Turbo boost my preaching, amen? If you're right there in Ruth number 1, it says this. Verse number 8, and Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as he have dealt with the dead and with me. Did you notice what it says? The Lord deal kindly with you as he have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. So here we have the story of Ruth, and they're all weeping. Why? Because they love each other. And you can see right out the go, what was the result? That they were kind. Here we see Naomi saying to her daughters, hey, may God be kind to you guys the same way you have been kind to me. Why? Because they had charity. Charity, amen? And if I'm saying it kind of wrong, you got to forgive me. Forgive me, amen? So if you have your Bibles, go to Genesis 50. Because there's another guy who had charity. Another guy who showed kindness. Because charity, what does it say? Suffereth long and is kind. And is kind. I was going to mention Shechem, but that's kind of like a wrong type of love. But I'm going to read the story of Shechem really quickly. It says, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bared unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. But it's unfortunate that this was fornication, a big sin. Some people believe that she was raped. Others believe that she just committed fornication. It's kind of hard for a rapist to be kind to you after he raped you. So I think it was just fornication. And if you know the story of Shechem, he wasn't a bad guy. I mean, if you read or if you know what he did to get the girl, oh man, he loved that girl, right? But what is the result of charity or love? It should be kindness. So you single ladies looking for a husband, if he's not treating you kind, he ain't got love for you. Preach it. Just a tip. You know, it doesn't open the door on a date. Good night. I can understand when you're married and your wife's like, I'm good, all right. I want to drive. No, 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 you make me sick when you drive. I'll drive. In case you're wondering why I'm in that passenger seat, it's not because I'm a punk. She likes to drive. Don't believe me? Double check with her. She's right there. But a man drives, right? Unless you make your wife sick, you know. Then she'll drive. But facts are, boyfriend treats you like crap, ain't as kind as you think he should be. Might want to dump that guy, look for someone else that will treat you with kindness. Amen. Kindness, because here's an example. Shechem says, hey, he loved the damsel, and he spake with her kindly. So charity suffereth long and is kind. Now let's look at Joseph. Amen. You're right there in Genesis 50. Let's look at verse 21. It says, now therefore fear ye not. Well, let me just read from 18. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me. You guys did me dirty. But God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass that it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Why? Because he's an example of somebody that had charity. He loved them. He loved his brothers. So go ahead and go to John chapter number 3, please. John chapter number 3. So we're going to see that, A, you want to know if you have charity, which the Bible says is the greatest of all. Are you a patient guy? Can you suck it up, buttercup? When people do you dirty and offend you, if it's not a sin unto death, can you let that go? Be able to sleep like a baby at night, or do you wake up the next day thinking about it? If not, then you know what? You have an issue. But it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. And a good Bible example is John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Let's take a look. You're in John 3. Let's look at verse 25. It says, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. He's stealing some of your shine. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from where? Heaven. Heaven. So that nice car that church member has that you like, that you wish you had, don't hate. Hey, that good thing came from heaven. That house. Hey, does it not say a man can receive nothing except he receive it from where? Heaven. So if you're thinking, well, I wouldn't buy that car. That car's for like show-offs. Well, apparently, hey, he still has it and he's driving it and enjoying it. So God must think that it's, you know, good to go if he provided and gave it to him. Because guess what? Hey, we can receive nothing unless it comes from where? Heaven. Brother Segura, why are you up there? You're just a janitor. I should be up there. Feel free to jump up here. Let me know next time Pastor Anderson throws out his back that you want to preach. I won't guarantee you he will let you preach, but I'll bring up your name, see what he thinks. So if I don't get back with you, that's your answer, amen? I'm just saying I'm up here because I can receive nothing except if come from where? Heaven. So there's no reason to be jealous, or let me rephrase that, jealous is a good thing. Envious, because charity envieth not. And so you got John, you know, he's being told, hey, that guy, you know, he's baptizing more. But what does he say? A man can receive nothing except it be given from heaven. Ye yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom withstandeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Now that's a friend that doesn't envy, amen? He's rejoicing heavily. This, my joy, therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Why? Because John had what? Charity. He envieth not. He didn't get jealous. He wasn't like, well, you know, y'all saw the baptisms I had before you showed up, right? Pretty good job, didn't I? Huh? He's like, so what? Hey, he must increase, I must decrease. Nothing comes except it comes from heaven. I'm not envious. I'm happy. In fact, I'm joyful. Because I'm not a hater. I'm somebody that has what? Charity. So let's continue. Go to 1 Samuel 25. Another guy, really quickly, it's Jonathan. Jonathan is another guy. If you can get to 1 Samuel, in fact, you know what? If you can make it to 1 Samuel 23:17, go right ahead. If not, go ahead and go to Proverbs 27:1. Go to Proverbs 27:1. I'm going to read from 1 Samuel 23:15. Talk about another guy that is a good Bible example of somebody who doesn't envy because he has charity. It says in 1 Samuel 23:15, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness as if in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. It's a good friend that's strengthening you up. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. Just a small example, but still an example. And of course, we know that Jonathan died because God did not want him to be next to David, when it came to the throne. But notice he didn't fight David. He wasn't like, oh man, God has chosen you. That's messed up. You know what? I don't think that's right. Are you sure? You know what? Let me just team up with my dad because I think that you're lying to us. I think there's a mistake. Surely you're not going to be king, David. He could have been envious, but he didn't. He said, you know what? My dad's trying to kill you, but I'm going to do my best, and he's not going to kill you. We know that the kingdom is going to be yours, and I'm going to be next to you. I'm going to be the second man or the second behind you. Obviously, it was a dumb thing to say. It wasn't God's will, but it showed that he was a guy who loved David and wasn't envious towards him. Why? Because he had? Amen. You guys right there in Proverbs 27:1, stay right there because it says, once again in 1 Corinthians 13, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. What does that mean, vaunteth not itself? It means that you don't brag, you don't boast. You're not this boastful idiot that says you're going to do something and it doesn't get done. And why is that wrong? Because the Bible says it's wrong. I'll give you a few verses. Proverbs 27:1. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In James 4, you don't have to go there. But if you do have your Bible, go to 1 Samuel 17. Go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 42. I'm going to read from James. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. God doesn't want us to go around bragging that we're going to do this and that we're going to do that. If the Lord will, you'll do this and you'll do that. Amen? Amen? I think the biggest violators are probably fighters. Fighters, they love to say, oh, I'm going to win Saturday night. That guy has zero chance. You see it all the time. It just happened yesterday. There was a big fight. I didn't watch it, but the two guys were claiming they're going to win. Well, guess what? Only one person can win. But at the end of the day, they're both boasting and bragging because no one knows the future but God. And unless they're walking on water and I don't know it, they're not even close. Right. But one guy brag how I'm bigger, I'm stronger. They're like, hey, how are you going to win this fight? Well, I'm bigger than that guy. I'm stronger than that guy. You know, I'm more experienced than that guy. I got more fights than that guy. Fast forward the next day, that guy gets knocked out. Knocked out. Claiming he's bigger, faster, stronger, more experienced, and that he's going to be the undisputed welterweight champion of the world. Fast forward the next day, knocked out round number 8. Knocked down 4 times before they finally said, you had enough. Your face looked like somebody stomped it with a boot. If it would have been humble, you might have made it through 12 rounds. But it seems like it's always the lesser of both evils, you know, that gets the bigger beating or kind of wins the fight. But this guy, he was barely touched and ended up winning. But he wasn't doing the boasting this other guy was doing. But that's what it means. Vaunted not itself. It says, for the wicked boasted of his heart's desire and blessed the covetous whom the Lord abhors. Now let's look at a Bible example of somebody that vaunted not themselves. You're right there in 1 Samuel 17. This is the story of King David. He's a good example of somebody that did not vaunt himself. And when the Philistines looked, verse 42, and when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give, look at the boasting, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Fast forward, David kills him. But look what David said. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take that head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Wasn't boasting, because everything he said was true. You know, Goliath had a false god. They knew it. But this type of victory only works if you have the true God. Amen? You can say, well, I'm going to beat you guys because my God is bigger. But if you're a Muslim, you're going to lose big time. If you're going against a Christian that fears God and keeps his commandments, you have zero chance. Amen. Zero. But let's continue. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. I'm going to continue with 1 Corinthians 13. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. It's not puffed up. The other one, vaunteth, well, somebody can be puffed up as well, but he's boasting, he's bragging. But hey, we can be puffed up in our hearts, even though on the exterior we don't show it, because on the inside we can think we're better than such and such and such and such, and you better hope you are, because if not, then guess what? You're just deceiving yourself. But even if you are better than that person, you still shouldn't be thinking that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Amen? So I'll just read from Ephesians 3:1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. I'll just skip because this is Paul talking. Skip to verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least. Look how he's talking. Than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You're right there in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's take a look at somebody who is not puffed up. Just look how he writes. Look what he's saying. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's the attitude God wants us to have. And if you don't have this attitude, guess what? Your charity is not what the Bible is talking about. Because like it says, charity is not puffed up. And Paul here is saying, hey, I am the least. The least of the saints, the least of the apostles, by the grace of God, I am what I am, because he recognizes his success came from God, and God has taken him where he's at. And his grace was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. 1 Timothy 1:15 says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He's saying, hey, I'm not perfect. I sin. Hey, I'm the least of the apostles and the saints. But he was the greatest. He was the greatest of the New Testament. Amen? Amen. Another person that comes to mind when it comes to not being puffed up is Mary. I'm not sure if you can get there fast enough, but you can get to Luke chapter number 1. Go ahead and haul butt to Luke chapter number 1 and meet me in verse number 47. You can go ahead and meet me in verse number 47. I'm going to read from verse number 41 in Luke 1. I just want to bring up Mary so we can see her attitude, because it's a great story of somebody who is not puffed up. It says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. So she's not thinking to herself, of course I was picked for this mission. I mean, look at me, I'm Mary. She didn't go there. She's just like, oh man, she's magnifying the Lord. She said, my soul does magnify. So she's not just giving God lip service, it's actually coming from the inside. Says my soul. So she's not a phony. She's not just saying what she needs to say in order to win Elizabeth. No, she's speaking from her soul. She's speaking the truth in her heart. And it says, in my spirit, verse 47, has rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. Talk about a humble woman. Go to 1 Samuel 18. Go to 1 Samuel 18. So when it comes to charity, it says charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. And you saw examples of not being puffed up with the Apostle Paul, with Mary. And now we have, does not behave itself unseemly or inappropriately. Somebody that has charity cares about others, not just themselves. You know, so I know wherever I go, I'm representing Pastor Anderson, so I do my best to represent him. You know, so I do my best to look serious because I want people to take me serious. But all of a sudden, what if I went somewhere and started acting like a teenager? I got my skateboard. What's up, dude? What's going on? Check out my moves. Hold on, let me try that again, dog. Put a backwards hat, right? Sag my pants, you know, dye my hair blonde. That's what's up. You guys are not going to take me serious. No way. But God wants you to be serious. And if I didn't care about pastor and I was just like, you know what, forget this. I'm going to be me. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be myself. And act like a clown and embarrass him. How could I say I really care about my pastor? The answer is no, I don't. I care about myself trying to impress people for whatever reason. But I'll read from 1 Samuel 18:5. It says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Wisely. So he knew how to behave himself and he wasn't inappropriate wherever he went. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And that's my goal. I want to be accepted in the sight of the people, the servants. So I want to be taken serious. I'm going to do my best to look serious, work serious, be serious, because it's just the right thing to do. And if I don't do it for myself, I'm doing it for the people because I want to bring glory to, you know, my boss, to you guys. I'm not just going to go anywhere and act a fool, act like a clown. Hey, aren't you for Faithful Word? Aren't you Pastor Anderson's right hand man? He's like, man, you're acting like a kid. He's like, dude, I didn't know you were like this. It wouldn't be right. But because I have charity, I want to represent Pastor as his ambassador as best I can. And I think everybody here wants to be taken serious as well. Right? And so, of course, don't behave yourself unseemly. Amen? But let's go to 1 Samuel 18 and look at some verses that use something very interesting. Let's go to verse 13. It says, therefore Saul removed him, talking about David, and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And when you do that, when you behave yourself wisely, you know, when you're not unseemly, you know, that pleases God. And what will God do? He'll use you more. He'll promote you. Or in this case, if you keep reading, let's start from 14 again. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, or he behaved himself very wisely, he was what? Afraid of him. He respected David, was afraid of him. Yes, he tried to kill him. But in the end, the way David acted, the result was that King Saul feared him and didn't go after him. But where did that fear come from? Well, I believe that God put that fear in King Saul because David was behaving himself wisely, not unseemly, pleasing the Lord. And when you please the Lord, he makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. Not that they're going to love you, but they'll be at peace with you. And I think David pleased the Lord because it says he behaved himself very wisely. And I need to do the same. You need to do the same. We all need to do the same. We represent Christ. So our goal should be to behave ourselves very wisely. Because that's charity, amen? Doing it for the Lord. You know, we do it because we love the Lord, and charity is love. But these are just examples of how do I know if I have it? Well, do you have this? You know, do you have the ability to suffer long? Are you kind? Of course, we're not supposed to be kind all the time because there are some times where we have to get, you know, aggressive. But it shouldn't be the norm, especially with people that are good people. You know, our enemies are those that hate the Lord. And you know what? We'll talk about them some other time. But let's just continue. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Genesis 13. Go to Genesis 13. So besides suffering long, besides being kind, besides not envying, besides not vaunting yourself, being puffed up, besides not behaving yourself unseemly or inappropriately, what else? It says, seeketh not her own. When you have charity, you have this desire to put people in front of you. I've seen it here. I see where people give up the best seats in vehicles and go to the rear because they want other people to have the best seats so they can enjoy the ride. Why do they do it? Because they care about that person, because they have charity, because they love that individual. Amen? And a good Bible example of this is Abraham. You're in Genesis 13. It says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou would take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. So he's giving Lot the first choice. Why? Because he loves Lot. He has charity. And it says right there, he's not seeking his own. He's like, what do you want to do, Lot? Let's go with what you want to do. And that's a good thing to have. That's a good characteristic to have in yourself. Amen? And so if you have your Bible, let's go to Job 31. Job 31. Job 31. So it says that charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not their own. Is not easily provoked. But I'm just going to go to this one. Thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Job in Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? What is he talking about? He's talking about lusting. Lusting after a maid. A young woman. He says, hey, I made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to do that. Because it's hurtful to my wife, and not just that, it's sin. You know, even Jesus made it very clear that if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you commit adultery with her already in your heart. You know, so when it comes to charity, you know, thinking no evil. But it's not just that. Thinking no evil is also thinking bad about someone without a cause. Somebody who has done nothing to you, but you are just pretty sure this person is a bad person, maybe because of something they're wearing. Or maybe something they said. You don't have any evidence, but your deceitful heart, which is desperately wicked, is tricking you into thinking this person is a bad person, but you don't have anything to back it up. And Matthew 5:22 says this, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And you don't want to be somebody that thinks evil of other people without a cause. That is not a loving thing to do. It's not. You got to be careful that you don't think evil, because that's something that, like it says right there, you know, you'll be in danger of the judgment. So you have to be careful with your thoughts. You have to keep them under control. And if you love someone, hey, you're not going to think evil. Amen? Amen? Without a cause, of course. And when you got people that are new, they're not going to be perfect. They may say things or wear something or cause you to just kind of, you know, maybe get offended by whatever they got on. It's something that's going to happen a lot because we're constantly bringing in new people. Amen?
Amen.
And so when it comes to charity, this is something that we all need to get good at, you know, because we have new people coming in. So for those of us that have been here the longest, we should have the most charity to kind of balance out the new people that probably have little to none. So that's why I want to help everyone here to identify things that can help you see if you do have charity, if you are a charitable person. You know, it's, hey, do I lose my cool really easy? You know, do I not have the ability to suffer long? You know, should I be a little kinder? Should I be a little bit more open? Should I be a little bit nicer? You know, should I just watch my thoughts? Should I behave more appropriately? You know, these are the things we should be looking at so that we do have the greatest of all these gifts, which is, of course, charity. Amen? So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 13. Nehemiah chapter number 13. Go ahead and meet me in verse number 25. While you go there, I'm going to read from Nehemiah chapter number 5, verse 6. And Nehemiah, the Bible reads, "And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, Ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against thee." So what do you got here? Nehemiah is mad at the people because they're charging usury. They're charging interest. So he's very upset. And not just that, he's so upset he's rebuking people. Now, I don't know about you, but I got to get really, really upset in order for me to start rebuking people and raising my voice and yelling at them and saying whatever I think needs to be said. It takes a lot of anger for me to just start yelling and rebuking. But here's what Nehemiah is doing. Why? Is it because he's being unloving? No, it's because these people are committing sin by taking advantage of people, charging them interest on whatever they loan them, and he's very upset over it. And you're right there in Nehemiah 13, because part of having charity is simply this. I'll just read from half of that chapter in verse 13. "Does not behave itself unseemly, seeking not their own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity." Rejoiceth not in iniquity. So we can see that Nehemiah, he's not rejoicing over the iniquity of the people. He is very mad. How mad? Let's take a look how mad he is. He says, "And I contended with them." So he's fighting with them because of their iniquity. "And he cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever seen Pastor Anderson pluck out anyone's hair in this building. And I've always thought of making a sermon, you know, biblical people that are more meaner than Pastor Anderson, because he's accused of being mean all the time. And of course, if you believe that, you haven't read the Bible, you haven't read Nehemiah. Because you got Moses killing people, you got Samuel killing people, you got Nehemiah pulling people's hair. And pastors never come close to doing any of those things, but yeah, he's a mean pastor. And this is coming from fake Christians, of course. Or even Christians that don't read their Bible, don't know Nehemiah. Right. Right. But man, the thought of me pulling someone's hair because I'm so mad, I don't know if I can get to that level. But hey, charity says you rejoice not in iniquity. Amen? And if you think that just doesn't seem right, brother or girl, well, let me read Proverbs. You just listen up. "A wise king," not a dumb king, "a wise king scattereth the wicked." So here's a verse that's telling us, if you're a wise king, you're going to get rid of the wicked. You're going to chase them out. And I love this part. "And bringeth the wheel over them." Did you catch that? It's like you're chasing a certain group of people, you know. They like to use letters to identify themselves. And you're chasing them out of town. But you're in your Dodge Hellcat with turbo. And all of a sudden, you hit the turbo boost. And you're chasing them out of your land because you want God to bless it and not curse it. Amen? Amen? And like it says right here in Proverbs, and you bring those turbo wheels over them. Amen? And you're like, that's mean. No, that's Bible. Amen. If you don't hear, I'm not talking about just average Joe sinner. I'm not talking about that person. You guys know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
But I don't want to get this channel deleted without, you know, a real good reason. We'll let Pastor get this channel deleted. This is his. It's for him, right? He gets that honor. I don't. So you guys are following me as to why Nehemiah is just so crazy, a little bit over the top. Because he loves God. He has charity. He has that love. He loves God so much. He hates sin. He's not rejoicing over their iniquity. He's doing something about it. And maybe getting a little too out of hand. I get it. Pulling people's hair. I get it. But then when you look at verse 20:26 in Proverbs, you're like, well, what's up with this? This is talking about a king getting rid of the wicked and bringing the wheel over them, basically running them over to where he kills them, you know, because he just wants them gone because they're better in hell than here on earth causing hell. Amen?
Amen.
This is not everyday Joe sinner that is talking about. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and go to Acts, and I'm almost done. 11 out of 15. Amen? And I still got about 15 minutes to go, so 1 minute per point. No, I'm just kidding. But let's keep going. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And the man that comes to mind, a biblical example of this, is the Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopian eunuch. Let's just quickly look at it. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but just want to give you Bible examples of, you know, people that had charity. So the Ethiopian eunuch. And of course, if you've gone soul winning, you probably agree with me that the people that listen are the people that love truth, that are seeking the truth. People that don't like the truth, they don't like certain truths, they'll shut us down real quick. Happened to me yesterday with Brother Pete. Knock on the door. Sure enough, this lady opens the door, and you don't really have to try hard to figure out where she stands. And sure enough, she didn't want to even hear it. And then she starts mocking us towards the end. Well, you guys have a good day now. You know, be careful now. Why? Because it was 110 degrees out. It's just kind of rubbing it in that you're kind of stupid being out here knocking these doors, you know, for your church, religion, whatever the case may be. But that person shut us down because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't. They could care less about it. But, hey, people that have love, loving people, they want to know. They are open to the gospel. They want to know the truth. And here's a perfect example. Acts 8:39 says this, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. Something tells me that this Ethiopian eunuch was a loving guy. A guy that had charity in his heart. But let's continue. The next one is, beareth all things. First person that comes to mind, I don't know who's the first person that comes to your mind when you think of bearing all things, but the person that comes to my mind again is Moses. So if you can, go to Exodus 18 so you can see what I'm talking about. Go to Exodus 18. Go ahead and meet me in verse number 20. While you're going there, I'm going to read from verse number 15. It says that Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it to thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. And God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. So Moses is just wearing himself out. He's trying to bear all things. He's taking too much upon himself, because that's what people with charity do. They just want to take the load. They just want to, you know, relieve people's stress. They just want to take care of everyone. But obviously his father-in-law is like, hey, you got to be a little wiser. Yes, I know you love these people and you want to teach them God's laws and you want to help every single person. But yeah, you got to do it a whole lot smarter, because if you don't, you're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear out the people. But the fact he was willing to do this for who knows how long before his father-in-law came and told him, listen, you got to do something different. This ain't going to work. All these people are coming to you for answers. Yes, I know you'd rather, you know, just deal with it or whatever the case, the way you're doing it now, but this isn't a good idea. And the reason he's able to do something like that is because he cares and he loves the people. You know, so of course, if you have that ability to just want to help everyone, that's a good thing. Don't feel bad about it, but do it in a wise way. Amen? And so we'll continue. Believeth all things. The person that comes to mind is the woman at the well. So I got about 15 minutes, and I'll just wrap it up with that. So if you got your Bible, just go ahead and meet me at Daniel. Go to Daniel 3:16. Daniel 3:16. While you go to Daniel 3:16, I'm just going to talk about the woman at the well really quickly. It says right there in verse 13, then Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. She said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and thou sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in his mouth, and he said that in Jerusalem, the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is when a true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I this speak unto thee, am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out the city and came unto him. I read as fast as I could so you can see that a lot of things happened. Jesus told this woman a lot, but did you notice one thing? She believed it all without even hesitating. Yes, it probably helped that he told her, hey, you have a lot of husbands. And she's like, how'd you know that? You must be a prophet. But this is similar to how people should be when they come to church and pastors preaching. You shouldn't be ready, you know, to just like find something or just wait for something wrong to come out of his mouth. You're coming, you know, understanding that you're coming and he's going to get up here and he's going to preach. You know, he's going to preach what he believes is biblical truths, and we just come in here with our mouths open and our ears ready to hear and for him to feed us. This is the right attitude to have. To be an individual that has to double check every single thing that somebody says is not good. Obviously, you read your Bible, you're going to know whether the pastor made a mistake or not. But to come in expecting to find something, expecting a fight is not a good attitude to have and is not very loving. In fact, I think it's hateful. Just trying to find any little thing to be able to use later. When people start praising him maybe in their presence, well, yeah, he's good, but he's not good because you know what? His last sermon, he actually said something that was off. And we get those emails all the time. And these people think we're stupid when they send these emails. You know, they think that for some reason we're just going to all of a sudden like not see what they're doing. They're always trying to correct Pastor Anderson because they're trying to bring him down, make him have doubts in his heart. And they're like, hey, well, you said this. This is actually what really happened during World War II. You know, Sweden was actually involved. Let me tell you how. You know, they have factories working for the Germans. Yeah, I bet you didn't know that, huh? And it's just envy. It's just hatred. That's what it is. But this woman was listening to Jesus, believing all things. Because even though, yeah, she might have had too many husbands, it's because she was such a loving person with charity, amen? That's how good she was. Somebody's going to make a short video out of that. First of Girls Heresies. But I just like, I don't know, this story, how she just like swallowing it all up. And she leaves rejoicing. It's like, man, I don't know, I love that story. But let's continue. If you have charity, it says, hopeth all things. And who comes to mind? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't worry, we have one more after this one. Because I love these guys. Talk about hoping all things. You guys are there at Daniel? Love this story. Man, talk about, I don't even know how to explain this thing. We just got to read it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Why? Because they have hope. They have hope in their God that he can do all things. Amen? And it says, hey, we're not going to be careful to answer you. He said, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Go to Acts 14. That's a heck of an attitude. Talk about hoping. Let me just make sure I don't misquote it. Hopeth all things. You know, talk about somebody or a group of people that had hope. Like, I wish I had hope that, hey, this is going to happen. They're talking to the guy who's about to kill him if, you know, they say something wrong. But that's the kind of hope they had because they knew they can do all things. They can escape this. They can accomplish anything. If God is with them, they're not going to be stopped. Amen? And last but not least, person with charity endureth all things. Endureth all things. Amen? Acts 14 says this, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Back to how we started, talking about stoning. But what happened? He actually got stoned, and he quit. and he went home and he never served the Lord again. Is that what happened?
No.
Absolutely not. In fact, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and we'll wrap it up there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He gets stoned. They stone him so bad they think he's dead. He must have been really tore up. And yet he survives it and doesn't quit. Doesn't quit. They threw stones at him. Hey, protesters throw an insult at you. Can you hang a little bit longer? They're not stoning you, bro. They're just saying bad things to you. And maybe we will never see another protest ever again. Yeah, right? But for anyone out there who hasn't experienced it, just remember this guy. He endured all things. Amen? But that wasn't just like the only kind of like bump in the Apostle Paul's Christian, you know, road or life. Let's just finish up with 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 22. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in princes more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Yeah, we know, Paul. We read about it just now. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. How many of you guys cannot swim? Cannot swim. Come on, you're not going to be embarrassed. We're not going to trip over that. I could barely swim, and I was in the Marines. But I tell you what, I don't know what I would do if I was shipwrecked. I have no clue, and I hope I never experience it. But he makes it very clear he was shipwrecked a night and a day. He was in the deep. I don't know if that deep has shark-infested waters, but I would have been probably praying all night, an all-night man's prayer, amen, in the ocean. In journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils, you know, those of you that go to missions trips, you know, we got to worry about these thieves, amen. Kind of messes it all up, but we don't care. We're still going to save people. In perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. Why did he do it all? He went through all this and kept going. He didn't quit. He endured all things. Why? Well, he finishes by telling us why. Because the care of all the churches. Because he cared. What's another word for caring? Having charity. Love. Whatever word you want to use. And this is why I'm talking about it this morning. Because it says the greatest of these is charity. And I know everyone here, whether you admit it or not. I know everyone here wants to be great. I know you do. I know when we're, I guess, you know, gone and Faithful Words having our memorial service, you know, I heard people say, wow, you know, the ones we had in the past, I didn't realize how much, you know, such and such affected people. I hope when I'm gone and I have there's a memorial service for me, I hope people talk about me the way they're talking about them. Because they were very impressed that, hey, they affected a lot of people in a positive way. And if you don't want to be great, you're just fooling yourself. Everybody wants to be great. Everybody wants to do good for the Lord, do great things for the Lord. Well, we obviously need to have charity in order to get those things done. And that's why I want to just remind everyone that, hey, bad things are going to happen. They're going to happen. Going back to enduring all things. Hey, I couldn't believe that after Pastor was talking to me on the phone, saying, hey, my back is so messed up, I don't know when I'm going to walk again. But you know what? Next year, I'm probably going to fly. I was like, what? Seriously? He didn't say, you know what? I think I'm done with this. No. He says, I enjoyed it. People enjoyed it. You know, brought a lot of faces in. We were able to plug people in. Why is he able to endure? Because of charity. Amen. That's the only reason why he would say without hesitating. And in my brain, I'm thinking, is he serious? Oh, no, he's serious. I know him enough to know he's serious. He's going to do it again next year. He may be in a wheelchair, but he's going to do it again next year. Because of what? Charity. Charity, because he cares about people. The faces that he saw while preaching, the stories that he heard, people saying, hey, you know, I got saved because of you. Listen, hey, listening to you helps me throughout my week. You know what? Just thank you so much for coming. He's probably thinking while he's on his bed, like, man, this sucks, but I'm going to do it again. It was a great thing, you know, great FWC mega conference. But if anybody else wants to do great things, bad things can happen. Look what happened to Paul. People in the Bible got sick, so sick they almost died. That's just how life is. We all know at the end of the day, pastor's in pain, but we all have hope that, hey, all things work together for good, right? To them that love God and obviously are called according to his purpose. So what I just wanted to do this morning is just talk about charity and talk about certain things and give you Bible examples of people that had it so we can follow in their footsteps. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you so much for this great group of people here. Father, we just ask you to just be with us throughout the week. And not just that, help us to serve you, whether it's out knocking doors, Lord, or in our, you know, place of employment, Father, or just with our neighbors or our family or our friends, Father. Just help us to have charity in every situation possible. And we ask you to do all this for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.